This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun-taek. The revelation of British paedophile Richard Huckle raping and abusing up to 200 Malaysian children between 2006 and 2014 shocked the nation. But beyond putting Huckle behind bars for life, what can be done to stop a paedophile before they abuse a child? A new research led by Dr. Christopher Ram, a psychiatrist at Karolinska Institute, is in the midst of a pilot treatment study to test a drug which could potentially reduce the risk of individuals with paedophilic disorder from acting on their sexual urges. The study is up on the crowdfunding website walasia.com, and here is the introductory video.
Around 1 in 10 girls and 1 in 20 boys are sexually abused during childhood. Approximately 50% of those more serious abuses are performed by men with paedophilic disorder. In the majority of cases, the perpetrator is someone closely related to the child, an uncle, a football trainer, a priest, a teacher. This issue is hard to deal with and approach, but we must, because this problem affects us all. This problem has now been addressed in a new research project at Karolinska University Hospital. It aims at testing a promising new pharmaceutical that researchers believe may have an acute risk-reducing effect and is at the same time patient-tolerant. This project called PRIOTAB is groundbreaking in many ways. Not only is this the first time that an acute treatment for paedophilia is being tested, it is also the first time that the best study design, randomized controlled trial, is being used in researching paedophilia. And most importantly, this study design allows results from the trial to be directly applied to clinical practice, not only in Sweden, but also internationally. At present, this research field is held back by a number of ethical and methodological issues. Christopher Ram at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm heads the new research directed at this problem. Researchers believe that the medicine called Degarelix has an acute onset within days.
We will test a new pharmaceutical agent we believe to be effective in reducing the risk for men with paedophilic disorder committing sexual offences against children.
That full video can be found on walasia.com. Dr. Ram joins me now from Stockholm to talk about his project.
Yes, it is up and running actually, and we have included around 6 patients or so and a few controls. So yes, it is up and running.
Wonderful. How did you get the idea to run this study?
The idea for this project I had when I did my specialist training in psychiatry. I did a clinical rotation at a child and adolescent psychiatry clinic, and there I met patients that had been sexually abused. And the next rotation I had was on the Center for Andrology and Sexual Medicine, and there I met the perpetrators, like, and men that have these sexual fantasies about children. So when I saw this entire chain of links, I saw in the literature that there are no evidence-based ways of doing this. So that is why I had this idea of designing a project that addressed these questions.
What is the hypothesis for this project and what would be considered success?
The overarching hypothesis of this project is that the number of child sexual abuse can actually be reduced by establishing an evidence-based, preventive and tolerable treatment for men with paedophilic disorder, intervening before damage is done. And this project consists of several sub-projects. So we run a clinical trial of a pharmaceutical we believe has a promising profile to be an acute, acting, risk-reducing and tolerable medicine. We look for biological markers for risk and we investigate the neural underpinnings of paedophilia. So if I'm able to address all these research questions, then I consider that a success. Both positive and negative findings are of interest.
What is the current understanding of paedophilia? Is it considered a sexual orientation?
According to the diagnostic manuals, paedophilia is a paraphilic disorder. Paraphilia means sexual perversion or sexual deviation. However, paedophilia also has many characteristics of being a sexual orientation. It is an enduring pattern of romantic or sexual attraction to a specific group of persons, prepubescent or early pubescent children. It is formed early in life, most probably, and it seems to be resistant to change, and it is not a choice the patients make. as one of my patients says, actually, if it had been a choice, I would have chosen differently.
Would it be correct to say all of us, when we were young, at one point were pedophiles because we were attracted to people our own age, but most of us grew out of it, whereas some don't?
Technically speaking, you have to be at least 16 years old to get this diagnosis. So you don't speak about pedophilia if you refer to these children.
Is it medically possible to diagnose pedophilic disorder at the moment?
Well, the diagnosis is made according to a set of descriptive criteria. And the diagnosis is often made in an interview referring to these criteria. There are some diagnostic structured interviews and some forms of biological diagnostic assessment tools that can be used. But you don't have any biological markers for the disorder itself.
What markers would you be looking for among the volunteers in this study?
In this study, we primarily look for markers of risk of committing child sexual abuse. That is high sexual arousal, disturbed self-regulation, and low empathy, not the diagnosis itself.
And all these are measurable?
We investigate this by using magnetic resonance imaging, brain imaging, and neuropsychological test batteries, and also blood samples. And these are research questions. We don't have any answer to them now. That is what I'm trying to achieve through this study.
So you will be recruiting up to 60 potential sex offenders for this study. How are you going to identify potential sex offenders?
We include adult men with pedophilic disorder, mostly through the National Helpline, Preventel here in Sweden, where you can call if you have sexual problems or if you feel that you have a problematic or dangerous sexuality. So these men are recruited directly from society. They are not known by the legal system. And we exclude unstable patients with severe comorbidity. All sign informed consent and they participate voluntarily.
Do we have an idea of how prevalent pedophilia is in the general population?
Well, studies indicate that approximately 3 to 5% of the population have sexual fantasies about children. And this is not only men, it is women too.
The study you're running will be, as you said, dependent on volunteers stepping forward, and it's expected to run for 2 years. How is it going to work?
So let me focus on the clinical trial then. I guess that is the sub-project of that you're mostly interested in. So we are running an investigator-initiated, double-blind, randomized, and placebo-controlled clinical trial of this medicine called Degarelix. So we include men with pedophilic disorder that have not previously been treated with hormone preparation, and they are randomized into treatment with either Degarelix or placebo, and then they are followed up after 2 and 12 weeks. And the primary endpoint is a measure based on rating scales and neuropsychological examinations of the three risk factors that have been found to best predict sexual abuse: high sexual arousal, disturbed self-regulation, and low empathy. And this study is carried out during February 2016 to 2020.
Can you tell us more about this drug that you mentioned, Degarelix, and how is it different from the current drugs being used in chemical castration procedures?
The treatment called chemical castration, it has been used previously to control pedophilic disorder. However, with pharmaceuticals that have been used without much scientific support, actually, and mostly based on clinical experience and some case reports, it has been performed with pharmaceuticals that take months for effect and that have an initial flare, that means resulting in an increased testosterone levels, and that is not something you would want to have in the acute phase of pedophilic disorder. And so using chemical castration without scientific proof only risks for security. So with this medicine that we are testing, called Degarelix, it is a third generation anti-testosterone pharmaceutical. It has an immediate onset of effect. In only 3 days following the injection, 97% of the men have no detectable levels of testosterone left in the blood, and there is no initial flare. Given that testosterone is critically involved in regulating at least three of the most important risk factors for committing child sexual abuse, high sexual arousal, disturbed self-regulation, low empathy, the hypothesis is that we can have a clinically significant risk-reducing effect that can be noticed within just a few weeks and that can last for up to 3 months.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Christopher Ram from Karolinska Institute. We'll talk more after the break. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Untik. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Christopher Ram from Sweden's Karolinska Institute. We're talking about a groundbreaking experiment for a medical intervention to treat pedophilia. In the video introducing this project on Oelesia.com, you mentioned that there are ethical and moral dilemmas to research on treatments for pedophilia. What are some of these ethical dilemmas?
Well, that is a very interesting question, because international guidelines for research ethics, they lack clear directives for the specific ethical challenges associated with clinical intervention studies on patients with pedophilic disorder. Not least, the guidelines lack clear directives as how to handle the third party, the children at risk. So this creates a dilemma for the researcher, making it problematic to conduct research in this area due to the lack of analysis of the risks. However, the alternative not to do research leads only to a continued absence of evidence-based treatments. So throughout this project, we have collaborated with experienced clinicians, medical ethicists, and lawyers. So that is how we have tried to handle these challenges.
So if I'm understanding correctly, children at risk, meaning there is not yet a way to design a controlled environment where you can put a potential sex offenders in the proximity of children.
No, you have to be a bit innovative and creative yourself to design such a study. I want to stress that in this study, we don't let like dangerous men walk around unsupervised. They are closely monitored. They have 24/7 access to the helpline. They are asked at every visit to report if they know of any child at risk. And this information is brought on to the authorities. And if a participant reports of any committed child sexual abuse, he's taken out of the study and reported to the police. So this study is performed in line with the Swedish legislation.
The line that you mentioned, Preventel, is based in your university and it's designed to help potential offenders. How many calls does it receive in a typical year and how are the callers counseled?
This helpline called Preventel receives many hundred calls a year. 100 calls approximately a year comes from people that have sexual fantasies about children. And so they can seek help anonymously, but they also, when they call, they get an appointment with a doctor or a psychologist at our clinic, and then we continue the treatment at our clinic.
Is there a sex offenders registry in Sweden as well?
We don't report the patients that call Preventel unless we really have to, and we only have to report them if they have committed a very serious child sex offense that they tell us about, or if they say that they are about to do it. So we can do most of our treatments anonymously in relation to authorities.
I ask because we often focus on the victims in child sex abuse cases, and rightly so.
Yes.
But they are those with a pedophilic disorder who do not act on their urges. People who call helplines like Preventel.
Yes.
Who actively want to seek treatment. But besides chemical castration, what treatments are currently available for them?
What is most currently used are either medicines, psychotherapy or social interventions, or sometimes you have a multimodal treatment model where you use all of them at the same time. So among the medicines, you have these anti-androgen medicines and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And both of them seem to have some kind of good effect in reducing the sexual arousal. But it isn't an evidence-based treatment. You have to do much more research before you know exactly what kind of effect you get with these medicines.
While preparing for this interview, I read in Germany there's this prevention project called Dunkelfeld, which means dark view, and it's now in its 11th year. I was wondering if you're aware of the project and what you thought of its efficacy.
Yes, I'm aware of this project Dunkelfeld. It is a very good project, I think, that is innovative and managed to reach out to many people that need help. They mostly focus on psychotherapeutical interventions, I think, and as far as I understand, they have been successful.
This drug, Degarelix, if your hypothesis is proved, would work in conjunction with other treatments, modality like psychotherapy and...
Yes, for methodological reasons, you have to test one treatment at a time to be able to evaluate its effect. But with this study, it is not this research is not a position for which kind of treatment is most effective in reducing the risk for someone with pedophilic disorder committing child sexual abuse. Most likely, both medical, psychotherapeutic, and social interventions are needed. But as I said, for methodological reasons, one treatment needs to be tested at a time.
This project is being crowdfunded, and your crowdfunding campaign is aiming to raise £38,000. Is that how much the treatment study will cost?
No, the treatment study has a much larger budget. But I ask for this sum because it is a symbolic sum. It is the amount of money that one case of child sexual abuse costs, taking into account the cost of police investigations, legal proceedings, and any medical treatment and support the victim may need. But for this money, I will be able to fund the work of a PhD student and a part-time research nurse and some blood tests and MRI scans.
Oh, okay. So it's good to know that there are other funding. But you also specifically mentioned on the website that you did not want to get fundings from pharmaceutical companies. Why is that?
If you collaborate with pharmaceutical companies, you are less free to design the study and to interpret the results exactly the way you want yourself. So in order to stay neutral, I wanted to not collaborate with pharmaceutical industry for this study.
What would a holistic pedophilic disorder treatment look like to you?
I guess you need to apply a biopsychosocial model also when it comes to pedophilia. That means you have to have tools that are both medicines, psychotherapy, and social interventions. But I would prefer a treatment model that is evidence-based and personalized. That means that if a patient comes to you, it would be great to be able to do like a risk profile and an objective description of the treatment needs and then tailor the treatment from this individual patient's needs.
Where else is research on pedophilic treatment going?
There is more and more research being done on this patient group. We do it here on Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden, but there are also research projects, for example, in Germany, the project Dunkelfeld. In Canada, there are some very good research done. And in the US and in the UK, so more and more research is being done on this patient group. And my impression is that more and more interest is also focused on the high-risk group of pedophilia patients. By that I mean the pedophilia patients that are in a risk zone of going from only having pedophilic disorder to also becoming a child sexual abuser. So if you manage to address this high-risk group and help them to not convert from pedophilic disorder to child sexual abuse, that would mean very much to both the patient, the children, and the society.
As a scientist, when you're working on a project like this, do you feel like there is a lot of obstacles or challenges in your way in communicating the need for research like this to government officials, people crafting public policy, or family groups?
Yes, I can really feel there is an interest for this research. But at the same time, there are many opinions from different groups in society. Many people seem to think that doing research on this group means that you don't do research on victims, but that is not true. You can both do research on the perpetrators and on the victims at the same time, and both are needed. And then there are some people that think that you should not even talk to these people. They seem to think that these people only have a immoral Jesus. Behavior. This project has been reported about in many medias now, both in China, India, UK, US, your country, and many more European countries. But only like 70 or 80 people have decided to actually back the project at wallacea.com, where the crowdfunding campaign is. And that surprises me a bit. I don't understand why not more people actually back this campaign. That would be an interesting research question, actually. Could it be that our ad is not done in an attractive way to people? Or is it that people have so hard to even think that these people should be done research on? I don't know, actually.
I think most have a very black and white view of pedophiles or anyone with pedophilic tendency as a bad person or immoral person. And so
yes,
any communication is not getting across. And in reading about the Germany's program, it seems like even the participants volunteer come with a lot of self-loathing and fear.
Yes.
Are you able to talk about the volunteers that you have signed up and how... What are your thoughts about this experiment?
The volunteers that have been enrolled in our project this far, they are very happy to contribute to research. Most of them feel that the picture of pedophilic disorder is not correct. The society's picture of pedophilic disorder, they want to give another version of it. They want to explain themselves. And so they are happy that this project is going on. I mean, child sexual abuse is hard to deal with, but we must, because it affects all of us. We must look into this problem, and we must understand these people better. We must know more about their life before they decide to seek help. Yeah, there are so much research that needs to be done.
Dr. Ram, before I let you go, maybe you can leave us a final message about the experiment as well as a treatment of pedophilia.
The goal of this project is to explore ways of preventing child sexual abuse from happening in the first time. And we do that by trying to establish an evidence-based, effective, and at the same time tolerable treatment model for people with pedophilic disorder. I hope that this research will contribute to finding such a treatment.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
For more information about Dr. Christopher Ram's clinical trial and how to support it, visit wallacea.com. That's spelled WALACEA.com. The link to the study will also be on our website with the podcast. You've been listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.